Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with David Norquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining us in our conversation is Steve Watson, partner in IBM's financial management practice. David, can we talk for a moment about your recent department audit? Now, your department has been working very hard to make headway in a variety of different areas. So would you assess for us your progress on this audit?
Sure, Al, and thank you for the question. The audit for DHS has been in the past a significant challenge, and I think some background here might be very useful. 2 years ago when I came into the department, we had not just 10 material weaknesses, but they pretty much ran across the department. For every material weakness, several organizations contributed to the reason we had that. Most of them came to the department that way. They were not weaknesses necessarily from the reorganization, but ones the department had inherited. And so this wasn't a problem you were going to be able to solve in a day. But we systematically set out to develop corrective action plans for each and every one of those material weaknesses. And then we began to execute it and track it over the course of the year. And so what's been very gratifying for me is, given all the hours and energy put into that, the results. We have, for example, had the number of material weaknesses for the department go from 10 to 7. The number of component conditions that contribute to that went from 25 to 16. Getting a little technical here, but the audit's disclaimer conditions dropped by 40%. So no matter how you measure progress in a financial audit, there was significant improvement across the board. The auditors were very favorable about their comments about how we had done. Their guidance to us next year was to keep it up, that was exactly the type of progress that you should be doing, and the approach was the right way to go ahead. What we now have done is got it to the point that the vast majority of our organization does not contribute to a material weakness, and we're down to only a few players left, and we hope to be able to reduce that again over the course of the next year as well. And so I've been very pleased to see that those resulted in very tangible results, and results not just of our saying so, but others coming in and saying, yes, in fact, you have addressed those concerns.
Well, that's great progress, and you should be congratulated for that. But as you look to the future, what are some of the steps that you're taking now to improve upon the results in the next audit?
The first thing we're doing is we're producing the second edition of what we call our playbook. And that one is a collection of our internal controls over financial reporting corrective action plans. And so it lays out the steps each component is responsible for. It has milestones by which they're going to meet each of those steps. It has the responsible individual, so I know who I can hold accountable for that. I also then have regular meetings with each of them. One of the important things about a corrective action plan is, like any other program, you have to stay on top of it. You have to monitor it. And so one of the things we did is we created a program management office that effectively treats these plans like you would a program acquisition. Are they on schedule? Are they meeting their milestones? How are they doing, and how much is it they spending in order to reach those goals? We're going to do a couple of things different this year, building on that success. The first is, many organizations either began with a clean opinion and still have them, or the federal agencies have material weaknesses and they haven't eliminated them. We are blessed with several components like immigration and customs enforcement, which used to have virtually every material weakness the department had. And in the last two audits, they've gotten to the point that this year they contribute to none. And that's a reflection on the strong leadership from Julie Myers, their assistant secretary. They had a very strong CFO, and they had very good corrective action plans. But what that means for me is there are people in that organization who know how to eliminate these problems, who've done it and who've been successful. So now when I sit down with a component who hasn't been able to solve these, I can bring in people from two or three other organizations in DHS who fixed exactly that problem. And now I can have them as sort of an advisory board helping me review these corrective action plans and helping the components navigate their way through these problems.
David, could we talk a little bit more about this internal controls over financial reporting playbook? How are you using it to strengthen internal controls? How are you balancing short and long-term fixes in the playbook?
The playbook has two tracks. The first track is directly addressing anything that an auditor identified as a material weakness. But our goal with those corrective action plans is not to make the material weakness go away. The goal is to go beyond that, to get to the point that the head of that organization can say, not only did the auditor not find a problem, but I have carefully reviewed this process and I believe that the information is correct and the process is sound. And so much like you shoot at a target by aiming slightly above it, we are going to go beyond the point of eliminating the weakness to having confidence in what they call going after the root cause and making sure we've solidly addressed it. But we've also got a second track that goes beyond that. We're looking at areas where the auditors have not identified a material weakness and going through a process of looking at what are the steps we go through. And as I mentioned before about segregation of duties, are those strong internal controls? Do they give us a process that is both sound in design and sound in operation? And when we can validate those, then we can turn to the secretary and say, you can give affirmative assurance that this process is good. Not just that the auditors didn't find it, but we've examined it. It represents best practices. You have good assurance about this process. And so we are doing that because I want to get ahead of the audits. I don't want to simply be responding to each weakness and say, okay, I'll play whack-a-mole. I'll go after that one next. I want to be looking at where there aren't weaknesses and knowing that if there is a problem there, we found it and we fixed it.
David, I know one of the other things you're looking at is your financial management system and your modernization strategy there. Can you talk to us a little bit about your transformation and systems consolidation plan? What are the next steps regarding this plan?
Sure, Steve. What we have done when I came in, the department had inherited numerous financial management systems, and many of them were contributing to some of our material weaknesses. At looking at them, we said, do we have any that work well? And we discovered we do. We have, for example, a system used by Customs and Border Protection, who has a clean audit opinion on their entire financial statement. And their system works very well for them, contributes to no material weaknesses. We also have a system being used by Transportation and Security Administration, and their system works very well for them. And the system isn't the driver between the problems they've had, and they've been very successful in improving their audit position. So the question becomes, well, do we need to design our own, or can we consolidate on either or both of these systems? And from a risk management point of view, asking someone to develop new software for you and tell them, these are my thousands of requirements, please meet them, that's a pretty high-risk approach. It's a big challenge. But if you say, I've got these two that work, and I've got a component that's on a different system, I'd like to move them onto this system. Now there are people at DHS who are familiar with it. They know what it does. They know how it operates. And that strategy of migration is much more manageable. You don't have to move the entire department at once. You can move it in pieces. And every step results in a clear, demonstrated benefit. A simple example is in my immediate area, in one of our offices, they process purchase transactions. And their paperwork goes to the accounting shop to enter the data. Under the new system, what they enter would be automatically logged into the accounting system, so there's no risk of somebody mistyping a dollar amount or a delay in the paperwork moving. Now the accounting folks can just validate that those, in fact, are correct, but they're not re-entering, and you dramatically reduce your risk of a material weakness, your risk of error, and you most importantly improve the timeliness and accuracy of your financial data. So we're going through the acquisition and contracting process for that right now, and we'll begin the consolidation and moves over the course of the next several years.
David, thanks. We've covered controls. We've covered a new system. Could we talk next about the Improper Payments Information Act? Agencies are required to annually review programs to identify those susceptible to significant problems. So I'm sure you know, but for our listeners, improper payments can include the wrong amount, mm-hmm. the wrong recipient, or money's going to the right recipient but being spent improperly. Mm-hmm. What is the department doing about improper payments?
We regularly test for improper payments. When the department was first started, we tested based on the size of the activity and the transaction to determine it. Since then, we've been shifting over to doing risk assessment, where are we most vulnerable, and concentrating our test work in that area. As we have gone through, we've been very pleased to see that across the board, folks have had very good results in their improper payment testing, that the incidents are very low. The most significant exception, of course, is FEMA and the payments that happened during the Katrina disaster. And I think people are maybe familiar with some of those challenges. But there, FEMA has done a number of things to strengthen those internal controls. They've increased their capacity to handle the volume of traffic, and that is one item, the simple volume of transactions that can drive up errors. They've also put in additional automated checks. So, for example, to ensure that the person applying for the benefit is, in fact, who they say they are and entitled to that benefit, reduces your chance of error. We've looked at and done some follow-up testing and seen that in the hurricanes and events since then, that the error rate is, in fact, quite low. And so part of that is the volume and part of that is the improvement in internal controls. But we're very interested in staying on top of this issue of continuing our risk assessment and validating that the controls work, or in places where we see a weakness, strengthening those controls to prevent improper payments.
Great. Now, David, along similar lines, I understand that transferring money between agencies can be quite cumbersome and that GAO has repeatedly identified intragovernmental transactions as an issue when they perform their annual audits. Can you tell us more about the government-wide effort to improve its ability to properly account, report, and reconcile these intragovernmental activities?
One of the challenges you have when you go to close out an audit is you have to record how many obligations and how many or what exchange of data and finances do I have with, say, the Department of Defense or the Corps of Engineers, and what do they have with our organization? Now, it is quite possible that the individuals and very likely that the individuals within your organization all know about each of those individual agreements. But now the finance and accounting staff at the aggregate has to be able to resolve those. And so if the Department of Defense has one number and we have a different one, you have to figure out, well, what's the difference? Which record am I not having or do you not have from within our organization? The challenge becomes that the data that's required to be on those documents is pretty high level. And so you can easily run into a point where I know it's a transaction with DHS and the Department of the Army, but which organization within them? Those are absolutely enormous organizations. And so if we can move to the point of having more detailed data in those records, then I'll realize it's a specific office within my organization, a specific office within yours, and immediately we can reconcile which one of us is missing a piece of information and get our two numbers to match. So part of this is a standardizing the data, and OMB and has been leading the effort in this area, and we're very supportive of the pilots that they are doing to try and examine ways to elevate this and to be able to have that additional level of data so we know the right way to reconcile these. Otherwise, it becomes manpower intensive, and one of the responsibilities you have as a CFO is to say, if I were to dedicate hundreds of thousands of dollars paying multiple federal employees to research this, is there a risk or a problem that I'm avoiding or solving by doing this? In some cases, there might be. In this case, it may be mostly record keeping, and so you'd much rather switch to an automated way than to be spending resources hunting it down in a one-time, one-solution manual process.
So do you see a solution for this issue in the near term, or is this going to take some more time to resolve?
It's going to take some time, but I think they've been making progress in identifying the types of things that are going to work. And, of course, all of us who are affected by this, and that's all of the agencies, are very supportive of OMB and supporting their efforts to find a common solution.
It's certainly a vested interest for everyone to see a solution to this problem.
Absolutely.
Great, great. What is the department doing to integrate budget and performance information? We will ask David Norquist, Chief Financial Officer at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.